Jan Masaryk was a popular Minister of Foreign Affairs who during the war spoke to the Czech nation by radio from London, where he and the rest of the government in exile were based. However, on this day in 1948, the politician died in unclear circumstances. For this special report, Ian Willoughby visits the place where Masaryk met his death.
Saturday marks the 70th anniversary of the still murky death of Jan Masaryk. The son of Czechoslovakia's founder Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk, Jan Masaryk was foreign minister in the Czech government in exile in the UK and retained that post until the 10th of March 1948, when he was found dead beneath the window of his second floor apartment at the Foreign Ministry's Černín Palace. Some close to the popular and internationally known politician believed he had jumped to his death 2 weeks after the communist takeover of Czechoslovakia. Masaryk had declined to resign with other democratic politicians in the protests that preceded the communists' assumption of total control, and there have been suggestions that he hoped to moderate the Soviet-backed party's intentions, at least temporarily. Others discounted the suicide reading, insisting that Masaryk had been murdered, a conclusion also reached by a police investigation into the matter carried out in the 1990s. But if he was killed, who did it? One interpretation is that his murder was the work of ministry officials Jan Bijovský and František Fritsch, who believed they were working for British intelligence but had in fact been duped by the Soviet NKVD. Ahead of the 70th anniversary of Jan Masaryk's death, I discuss some of those issues with Pavel Šílený of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. But first, the official showed me around Masaryk's apartment, which was recreated in the 1990s using period documents.
Originally, it should serve personally to the minister. Of course, quite important part of the apartment was also the meeting rooms and the study of the minister. The first minister who served here and who lived here was Kamil Krovta before the Second World War. During the war, probably the most infamous inhabitant here was so-called Reich Protector Konstantin von Neurath. And of course, after the Second World War, the most important person who lived here was Jan Masaryk, or probably the most important foreign minister.
And typically, would ministers have lived here full-time or just spent some time here?
It is hard to say it generally, but concerning Jan Masaryk, he lived here. He spent here 3 years. So, yeah, we can imagine that actually he spent most of his time during these 3 years living here, staying here in this building.
And what has this apartment been used for since that time, since 1948?
After the death of Jan Masaryk, the first communist foreign minister, Vlado Klementist, moved in to this apartment, and he also spent here 2 years before his trial. And after him, well, the people should have forgotten what actually happened here. So these rooms were adapted to offices, and that was until the 90s, so when after the Velvet Revolution, the ministry adapted the apartment to its original historical state.
So what we see here now is a kind of reconstruction of the flat as it would have looked during the time of Jan Masaryk.
Exactly, because a lot of pictures survived in the archives, so the ministry was able to reconstruct this apartment.
And I guess it's fair to say that Jan Masaryk was more than a normal foreign minister.
Of course, he was by far the most popular politician of his era after the Second World War, firstly because of his name, and secondly and mostly because of his speeches he gave on the wave of BBC during the war from London when he was the exile minister. So yes, he wasn't just an ordinary foreign minister, but he was by far the most popular politician of his time in the country.
Now we're standing in front of the window from which Jan Masaryk famously met his death. Could you describe the scene here?
We are standing in the bathroom. The bathroom is in the original state of the 30s, and that's actually where Jan Masaryk was probably killed. He was thrown from the window, most probably. That's actually how the police closed the case. Murder. Most probably, Jan Masaryk was killed by secret agents. Hard to say to which secret service they belonged. And that happened on the night from 9th to 10th March 1948.
So was it the case then that he was found beneath the window in the courtyard the next morning?
Yeah, exactly. He was found dead at night. And the following day it was proclaimed in the parliament that he committed suicide.
And the distance here to the ground, I was reading, is 14 meters.
Approximately 14 meters, like two floors, two historical floors. So some 14, 15 meters.
And do you think that supports the suggestion that it was murder, not suicide? Because it's not a height that would be guaranteed to kill you if you did jump.
Exactly. Well, we should bear in mind that Jan Masaryk was 62. He was, let's say, quite old. So his physical strength was not comparable to a young man. So, of course, this 14, 15 meters could have been enough. But, he, like normal person, would haven't committed suicide in such a manner.
But still, didn't many people who were close to him believe the suggestion that it was suicide, including his secretary, I think, Antonín Sum. Also, I believe his wife accepted the idea, the interpretation that it was suicide.
Yes, that's true. Most of the people who were close to Jan Masaryk believed that he committed suicide because of his mental issue.
So they simply thought that 2 weeks after the communist takeover, he was depressed and he jumped.
Not only he was depressed, but he was under enormous pressure from both sides of the events of February 1948. So, yeah, this situation was unbelievably hard and difficult.
When you say both sides, you mean the communists and the Democrats? What exactly are you talking about?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
If it was murder, what could the motivations have been for killing Jan Masaryk?
Well, that's just a speculation, but he decided to stay in the government to keep his position. And for Communist Party, that was probably unacceptable to have somebody who was independent in the position of foreign minister.
Wasn't he, in a sense, supporting them? Wasn't he kind of going along with them? Wouldn't that have benefited them?
Well, that's true. But in a long-term perspective, they just needed to have a communist minister.
The Czech police have ruled that it was murder. Who are the main suspects in the murder?
Well, in the report of the police from 2003, they said that most probably it was committed by the agents of Secret Service of that time Soviet Union, so NKVD.
So they're saying that Russian agents came here, that they weren't Czechs, but actual Soviets?
That's what the police say.
Because I've read also that there were two Czechs who were suspected of carrying out the murder, Bijovsky and Fritsch.
Well, they may have been involved in the... but it is hard to imagine that they decided by themselves to do it.
Why would the Soviets have wanted Masaryk gone, for the same reason you were talking about?
Exactly, for the same reason. Like, they wanted probably somebody loyal.
And you know what was the reaction in Prague to the death of Masaryk?
Among people, it was a huge disbelief. And, of course, the burning, it was a mass demonstration of not acceptance what's going on. Yeah.
So for some people, could it have been seen as a kind of further nail in the coffin of democracy in Czechoslovakia?
A further nail and the last one, maybe. Yeah, exactly.
Pavel Šílený of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, who was speaking to Ian Willoughby at the apartment where Jan Masaryk met his death on this day in 1948.